This is Hoosier Ag This Week, with a review of the week's farm news and markets and a look at the coming weather. I'm Andy Eubank from Hoosier Ag Today. On the program today are Gary Truitt, Ashley Davenport, Eric Pfeiffer is here now.
Hi, Andy. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin will be here in just a moment with our first harvest forecast, but also in the news, early harvest thoughts from the Purdue specialist on the new Purdue Crop Chat. And next week is Hoosier Heritage Barn Week. We report on efforts to save Indiana's old barns.
Also, getting the word out on rural road safety, a visit to an agritourism spot that really blossomed last year. And Eric, we now know where Ted McKinney has landed after his USDA stint.
Yes, Andy, the proud Boilermaker has landed in a familiar spot for him. McKinney will join the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture as their next CEO later this month. He'll lead the organization in amplifying the voice of State Departments of Agriculture in Washington, D.C., seeking policy solutions for our food system. McKinney was a member of NASDA in his role as director of the Indiana State Department of Agriculture. McKinney, originally from Tipton, Indiana, previously served as USDA Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agricultural Affairs, the first to hold that post in the Trump administration. Let's turn our attention now to the weather. It'll be dry and quite warm across the state this weekend, with humidity growing as well. In our first edition for this season of the Seed Genetics Direct Harvest Weather Forecast, Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says,
I still believe we're going to be seeing dry weather for next Monday as well, but we are definitely seeing a shift in our weather pattern. That's going to be happening as we head toward midweek next week. We do have some rain on the way.
Martin says models are disagreeing on when that rain might roll through.
Some are saying as early as Monday afternoon, Monday evening, we'll see some moisture coming out from the south. I still believe that holds off into Tuesday. But we're definitely going to be seeing the first wave of moisture coming up from the south, anywhere from a quarter to half an inch likely, coverage around 60%. Then our cool front shows up overnight Tuesday night through Wednesday, and that front could give us another quarter to 1 inch across the state. So out of the two waves combined, everybody sees some moisture. It probably is going to slow harvest potential just a little bit by a few days.
Martin's forecast calls for dry conditions by Thursday, but with dramatically cooler temperatures Thursday and Friday.
Temperatures at the 5,000-foot level in the atmosphere could be down to the freezing mark in the southern tier counties of Michigan. So, yes, we're going to be below normal, I believe, as we finish out next week. It doesn't last very long, and I'm not concerned about frost or anything like that, but we're definitely chilly before warming up again going into next weekend.
The Harvest Weather Forecast is presented by Bex Hybrids, First Farmers Bank and Trust, and Series Solutions. Combines are rolling throughout the state as Harvest 2021 ramps up. While you're in the Combine, be sure to check out the latest Purdue Crop Chat podcast, available for download now at HoosierAgToday.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Purdue Extension soybean specialist Sean Castile and corn specialist Dan Quinn discuss USDA's yield estimates and potential harvest time issues in this latest podcast. Castile says there are a good number of soybean fields that have spots of green stem syndrome.
You got this photosynthate, this plant sugars that's been created by the leaves, and then something's happened to our pod load and our seed load. And so in other words, we have all this energy, all this sugar to get translocated and utilized, and then all of a sudden the sink, the pods and the seeds are gone, or there's not as many. And so in that case, they finish filling out the few pods that are there and the seeds, and then now they just maintain the stems, and even some of the leaves are holding on. So there's going to be pockets of fields that have this green stem syndrome, but the pods themselves are going to be brown. They're going to be harvest mature. They'll be 10-12%, and then green is a gourd on the stem. So we need to be ready to roll when the grain's ready.
Castile says you might have to slow the combine down a bit to cut through those green stems. For corn, Quinn is concerned about stock quality, especially in fields where tar spot took over in northern Indiana.
So I've encouraged people to be out there and still walking their fields, even though we're close to harvest, you know, maybe walking them perpendicular, those rows, and just push on some of those corn plants, or maybe split some stalks, you know, take a look. You can even pinch them and see if they're still hard, or maybe there's just not good integrity there, and just get an indication. You know, I do have some fields with poor stalk quality. Maybe I need to harvest those first. So if we do have a significant storm system move through, or significant winds that potentially could knock down some of that corn, that's something that we're really trying to have people pay attention to and could be important this time of year.
USDA has pegged Indiana's corn yield at 197 bushels per acre and soybeans at 60. Both Quinn and Castile feel like those are lofty numbers for a statewide average. Hear more in the podcast at HoosierAgToday.com. With harvest season finally here, Hoosier Ag Today and the state of Indiana are once again encouraging rural road safety. With that story, let's welcome back Andy Eubank.
Thanks, Eric. And you're on the narration for the new public service announcement.
Since winter, and then his seeds were being planted, and the growing crops were looking for sun and rain.
In the YouTube video, we quickly take you from spring planting farmers to the harvest season now upon us. It's something that farmers anxiously await all season, and we all want it to be a successful, bountiful harvest. But most importantly, harvest must be safe. For everyone, farmers and runners, cyclists and motorists. This time of year is a favorite for Indiana's Secretary of Agriculture, Lieutenant Governor Suzanne Crouch, and her safety message is a simple one.
While traveling along our rural roads, I often come across tractors, grain wagons, and combines traveling between fields to harvest their crops. I want to encourage all motorists to slow down, be patient, and be on high alert for agriculture equipment on our roads this harvest season.
More safety tips at our website, HoosierAgToday.com. Now on the weekend show, a shift over to the markets, and we ended the week on a weak note, selling off in corn, soybeans, and wheat. Numbers coming up, first some marketing thoughts with Bob Utterback of Utterback Marketing Services.
In that time period, we're now into the typical seasonal harvest time period of weakness. But I perceive that farmers are filling up their bins first and are going to be very reluctant to dump in the inventory unless absolutely everything's full. So that means I don't think we're going to have the classic real flush in the market. There's really good technical support on the corn market, 15, 20, you know, beef 22, 470 front end, $4.90, $5 is going to be an awful tough nut for the corn market. Bean market, it's been harvest, been going a little stronger here. So far, yields have been pretty respectable for the early stuff.
Market analysis with Bob Utterback of Utterback Marketing Services. His number is 800-832-1488. Corn market tried to make a comeback and finish on the plus side on Friday. Did not happen, though. Dece ends at 527 and a quarter, 2 and a quarter lower. March 534 and a quarter, 2.5 cents down. And beans also came off the lows, but finished about 12 cents down on the November 1284. January 1293, 11 and three quarters lower. Chicago wheat, 708 and three quarters, down 4 and a quarter. That's the December contract. October live cattle, down 80 cents, 122.80. December down a dollar and a nickel. October lean hogs, 85.72, 25 cents up. And December up 60 cents at 75.05. And that's our market recap. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag This Week.
For nearly a century, your local farmer-owned cooperative has served this community by delivering outstanding customer service, industry expertise, quality products, and leading-edge technology to our agriculture and energy partners. Today, we're committed to cultivating success in the communities we call home by providing America's farmers with the supplies and outstanding service they need to do their part to feed the world. Agronomy, liquid fuels, home heat, grain marketing, animal nutrition, feed, and more. Co-Alliance, your local farmer-owned cooperative, continues to be your resource for whatever the day, month, or season brings your way.
Solar energy does more than just provide electricity to Indiana homes and businesses. Privately funded solar projects can mean millions of tax dollars for our communities and for farmers. In some Indiana counties, solar projects have helped to provide high-speed broadband for many people. Solar projects help schools and libraries, make road improvements, and more. And solar projects mean we can provide affordable, reliable, and clean energy for Indiana's future. Learn more at HoosiersForRenewables.com.
Seed Genetics Direct has a lot in common with your farm operation. They're independent, family-oriented, and American-owned, just like you. And they have everything you want when it comes to seed, including published prices, localized research, deep discounts, and the latest technologies with high yields. So contact Todd and Chris Jeffries at Seed Genetics Direct to make your corn, bean, wheat, alfalfa, or herbicide purchases. Value, knowledge, performance. It's in their genetics.
Some moisture coming the first half of next week, and then we see a change in our forecast pattern for the second half. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Weekend Weather Outlook, focusing on harvest weather. It's brought to you by Seed Genetics Direct, the largest Ohio-based independent seed company and the Eastern Corn Belt's fastest-growing independent seed company. Visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com for more information. Your weekend sets up very warm, very dry, very humid overall. We're looking at high humidity levels as we move forward, but no significant precipitation. We had a frontal boundary that was running out of gas over the Great Lakes area yesterday and last night. It's going to probably bring a little bit of cloud cover into parts of the state today, but most of us are just going to turn out partly to mostly sunny and dry. We're seeing humidity values climb today. We're going to be relatively humid again tomorrow. Now, on Monday, we start to see some changes here. We start with sunshine, but moisture is coming quicker from the south. I look for moisture to spread over the southern half of the state by midday, and then we get it into northern Indiana by sunset. The first round of moisture there for your Monday and Monday night, quarter to one-inch rainfall totals, 75 to 80% of Indiana. The heaviest totals of that half to one-inch range is going to be downstate, I-70 southward. Then we put together a frontal boundary that's going to be coming through Tuesday through Wednesday midday. This front is going to have 100% coverage and probably brings us another quarter to one full inch of moisture. So the first half of next week alone, we can see half to maybe 2 inches, depending on where you're at, if you see the thunderstorms. And we're seeing everybody get moisture. But moisture's done by midday Wednesday. We turn out partly sunny. We see lower humidity. And the big news is much, much cooler. Temperatures normal to below normal, probably a good 5 to 10 degrees below normal for your Thursday and your Friday, but sunshine will be dominating. Temperatures bounce back as we move through the Saturday-Sunday time frame, normal to slightly above normal, and then the week of the 27th, we're going to continue to keep sunny, warm, and dry temperatures in here. Maybe not well above normal on your daytime highs, but I think near normal. So what does this do? It gives, I think, a good chance at some pretty good dry down for crops here. I don't see anything standing in the way of a fairly good harvest pace right now. Yes, we do see some rain Monday, Tuesday, early Wednesday of this next week, and that will likely back us out of the fields a little bit. But remember, our soil profiles are very dry, and I don't really think this moisture over the longer haul causes any problems, any bit of major delay that we have to be concerned about. Crops are going to continue to dry down very, very quickly, especially with lower humidity values behind. Cooler temperatures for a few days won't get us back to full drying super fast, but by the end of the week, we'll be there. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
My name's Tom McKinney. I'm a farmer here in west side of Tipton County. There's a new crop on the horizon, and you only plant it once, but it can harvest energy and money for years. I'm talking about solar farms that typically use only about 1 or 2% of the county's farmland. Solar farms are investments from private companies that pay millions to our communities and schools with property taxes, and renewables mean money in my pocket too. As a farmer, I know what's best for my family and my land. Learn more about renewable energy at HoosiersForRenewables.com.
Welcome back to Hoosier Ag This Week from Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. 2020 was a devastating year for many businesses, but what about the agritourism industry? Caleb Hufford, one of the owners of Hillside Acres, a U-Pick apple orchard and pumpkin patch about 10 minutes east of Lafayette, said 2020 was actually a great year for them, and they anticipate even bigger crowds this year.
We felt like last year was a good growing year. There was and the reason is because there was a lot of indoor stuff that was closed. You couldn't go to the movie theaters. You couldn't go really anywhere. We were still offering to come out here because we were all outdoors. And so we felt like it was a good, we got our name out there maybe more than we would on a normal year. And so this year, I feel like more people know about us. And now that everybody's kind of getting out, we anticipate bigger crowds.
Hufford says this is their fourth year running Hillside Acres. They bought the U-Pick apple orchard with the intention of converting the land to corn and soybean acres, but they were convinced to keep the apple orchard. They then decided to add a pumpkin patch and entertainment for families, like a jumping pad, slides, a corn maze, and tractor rides. Hufford says after growing up on a row crop and hog farm, growing specialty crops intrigued him. But growing pumpkins is sure different. He says disease is a huge issue.
So we have to come up with a good, safe spray schedule that we use. And we spray every 14 days, something like that, around 2 weeks is what we try to do. And it's just completely different. And we grow 30 different variety of pumpkins. And so all them different varieties are more susceptible than others. And so we just have to keep a really close eye on them. And then the other big problem about pumpkins is weed control. You know, pumpkins are a broadleaf, and so most weeds are broadleafs as well. And so it's hard to find, you know, a good weed control measure. And so a lot of it's by hand, pulling weeds by hand. And we do a little bit of spot spraying too.
Bugs are also a big problem for the pumpkins. He says they do crop checks every day for both the apples and pumpkins. Hufford never saw himself getting into agritourism, but he says it's very rewarding.
The rewards are when people are coming out here, you know, like they are today, and having a good time. And then when October comes and there's so many people coming out and telling you how fun their kids are having. And then also when you can produce a good quality pumpkin, good apples, that's the biggest reward to me. And it's so rewarding because you've worked all year and look what you got in the end.
Learn more about Hillside Acres in my full interview with Hufford at HoosierAgToday.com. Food tech company Benson Hill has announced the expansion of their ingredients infrastructure by purchasing a soybean crushing facility from Seymour, Indiana-based Rose Acre Farms. They say the acquisition will support production of a portfolio of proprietary, non-GMO, and sustainable soy protein and oil ingredients for the human food and animal feed markets. Jeff Johnson, president of Benson Hill Seeds, says this acquisition isn't the only area of growth for the company.
Last year, we contracted 30,000 acres. We grew 70,000 acres this year, and that includes our really first commercially launched ultra-high protein soybeans. And that's a soybean plant that just is genetically better for protein, so it can produce upwards of 50% protein out of the field on a dry weight basis.
Recent data projects that the value of the global plant protein market could surpass $162 billion by 2030. The facility will ultimately have the capacity to process Benson Hill's proprietary soybean varieties to serve that market, including those high ultra protein soybeans, which will be harvested this fall.
Many consumers are wanting more whole foods or a cleaner label, more plant-based proteins, and it really feeds into what our products do. So whether someone's growing livestock, we have specialty protein products that have low raffinose and stachyose as anti-nutritionals that upset a young animal's stomach, so we can help them with better rate of gain with that. But also from a food standpoint, soy protein concentrate is one of the most used ingredients in food. And if we look at the rise of the plant-based meat replacement market, for example, if you're interested in that, that uses a lot of soy protein concentrate.
Benson Hill says the facility will continue to serve existing customers. The transaction is expected to close by the end of the month. More farmers than ever are working in digital spaces, and Indigo Ag is meeting farmers there to trade grain. Here's Ashley Davenport.
Typically, the first step in the process is picking up your phone to call a buyer. Heather Gieske, head of North American Crop Marketing Trade Operations, says the traditional way of trading grain might not work as well nowadays.
We live in a very on-demand culture where if you want a cheeseburger, you can have it showed up at your door in 20 minutes. If you want to order a couch from your phone and have it here by Friday, you can do that. And so why should grain trading be any different?
Indigo's marketplace platform is a software that's designed to bring buyers and sellers together anytime, anywhere.
I'm going to go into my smartphone. I'm going to download the marketplace app. I'm going to put in some basic information, the location of my farm, my entity name, just some very basic demographic information. And right away, I can pull up a list of bids that are prioritized by my specific location, net of freight. So it's automatically collecting all of those bids. Not only that, you can then go and actually transact on that bid.
To learn more about Marketplace, we have a link on this story on our website.
That's Ashley Davenport reporting, and the website is HoosierAgToday.com. Still much more to come here on the weekend show, including this week being Hoosier Heritage Barn Week. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, and this is Hoosier Ag This Week from Hoosier Ag Today.
This is Money Minute, financial tips from the experts at AgriFinancial. Tips on how to find a new lender for your operation is the topic this month. And joining me is Liz Neville, Vice President and General Manager of AgriFinancial. Liz, so far in our series, we've talked about the questions that farmers need to ask prospective lenders. But what about the lenders?
The lender has to dig in to make sure they're understanding the operation.
And those questions should go beyond just what's on your balance sheet.
The lender should be asking questions questions to understand the borrower's income cycle. A row crop producer is going to harvest crops typically in the fall, and then they may sell out of the field at harvest, or they may market that grain throughout the year. And so understanding what the producer's marketing cycle is and when they plan to sell that grain so that the timing on the due dates of the payments is correlated with when that income is expected is going to be critically important.
You can connect with AgriFinancial online at cgb-agfi.com. This has been Money Minute from AgriFinancial.
Solar energy does more than just provide electricity to Indiana homes and businesses. Privately funded solar projects can mean millions of tax dollars for our communities and for farmers. In some Indiana counties, solar projects have helped to provide high-speed broadband for many people. Solar projects help schools and libraries, make road improvements, and more. And solar projects mean we can provide affordable, reliable, and clean energy for Indiana's future. Learn more at HoosiersForRenewables.com.
My name is Tom McKinney. I'm a farmer here in west side of Tipton County. There's a new crop on the horizon, and you only plant it once, but it can harvest energy and money for years. I'm talking about solar farms that typically use only about 1 or 2% of the county's farmland. Solar farms are investments from private companies that pay millions to our communities and schools with property taxes, and renewables mean money in my pocket too. As a farmer, I know what's best for my family and my land. Learn more about renewable energy at HoosiersForRenewables.com.
The top news in Indiana and U.S. agriculture is right here on Hoosier Ag This Week from Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. Agriculture is anticipating the passage of the $3.5 trillion infrastructure bill, and Ashley Davenport spoke with one organization waiting for improvements.
Many ag groups are waiting for the House's legislation, including the National Corn Growers Association.
There's some good wins in there for agriculture. We've got some money for locks and dams and some money for roads and bridges, and that's great. And they're not coming after small individual businesses to pay for it. So, you know, that's also a win for our industry.
Chris Edgington is a farmer from Iowa and will be NCGA's next president October 1st.
People sometimes they take it for granted how it got to the store where they bought it, you know, or ordered it off of Amazon. So there's a tremendous infrastructure logistics challenge on the backside, whether it's trucks, boats, cars, automobile, planes, you name it. They all got to have something. We need a lot of good infrastructure, but we don't need to necessarily pay for it out of small businesses.
He says that NCGA is working with call to action groups to encourage their members' representatives to get this bill passed.
There's about 40,000 corn grower members, so we do get some attention when everybody calls their local representatives that, hey, we need to get this through. We need to get it done.
Last month, during the Farm Progress Show, Representative Sherry Bustos of Illinois says she does not anticipate many changes. She anticipates a vote by the end of this month. Edgington is optimistic that this bill will make it to President Biden's desk.
This one, I think, has got some pretty good opportunities and seems to have traction on both sides of the aisle, which is sometimes a challenge.
I'm Ashley Davenport.
From Western Indiana, there's some real positivity about those crops. With details, here's Andy Eubank.
USDA has their new U.S. corn and soybean crop estimates, and Indiana farmers are ready to dig in and get their own yields. But one agronomist believes through all of the ups and downs this year, crops look very good. Randy Niver is a technical agronomist with DeKalb Asgro, and he isn't just optimistic about corn yield potential.
You know, especially the earlier planted beans look fantastic for this year. Even double crop that we never get really good stand establishment looks really good this year because we had timely rains after that double crop planting, and those beans come right up. They look really good too. So even the later planted soybeans have some really good yield potential this year.
Niver says farmers have done a good job helping the crop along with their disease management program this summer.
We've had an excellent opportunity for disease, and especially as you get into the northern part of Illinois and Indiana, tar spot has been something that's been coming out in corn. And spraying fungicide VTR1 at the bare minimum has been key to controlling that pest. That disease is something that comes on early, so if we spray at the R2 to R3 time frame, brown silk, it's too late.
So the fungicide approach is worth a look when evaluating what you can do differently next year.
Considering a little bit earlier fungicide or adding a fungicide pass into your program is something that I think it's got to come to be able to control some of these diseases. And even in a year where we don't see a heavy pressure, just the ethylene production that the plant goes through, the strobilurins and the fungicides can help protect the plant and slow down that ethylene production.
For more, visit the whole section dedicated to agronomy at their website. We have the link at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Andy Eubank.
And September 20th through the 26th has been proclaimed Hoosier Heritage Barn Week by Governor Holcomb. Gary Truitt is here now, and he has more on efforts to save Indiana's old barns.
The Indiana Barn Foundation has organized a multi-county barn tour in DeKalb and Allen counties. Barn Foundation Director Ken Yeager said the tour provides a unique look at some restored historic barns.
To me, what's really unique, I mean, I love seeing the outsides of some of these barns, but having a chance to look at the inside and the workmanship and some of the neat things that people did inside with regard to construction.
Located on farms across the state, these old barns represent a physical link to our agricultural past.
These barns, probably more than anything else, tell the story of the settlement of the state and, you know, different heritage that people brought, particularly with regard to the carpenter.
Formed in 2015, the Barn Foundation is dedicated to preserving these structures and educating people about their importance. Yeager says many of these old barns have found a new life and a new purpose.
Particularly, we've got some wineries with good examples. We've got wedding venues. I know of one barn that's an antique store. You know, those kinds of things that make sense to repurpose them, that gives them an economic purpose into the future and is going to ensure that they're there for a long time.
To help provide the resources to preserve the heritage, the Maury Williamson Endowment Fund has been established. Creator of the Pioneer Village at the State Fair, Maury Williamson was a lifelong advocate for preserving the history of Indiana agriculture.
There's nobody who had more passion for Indiana agricultural history and heritage than Maury. And
the Barn Foundation has published a booklet on Indiana barns. It is free at farm credit offices around the state. For more information and tickets to the tour, visit IndianaBarns.org. I'm Gary Truitt.
All right, Gary, thanks. And this week is also National Farm Safety Week, so we wish everyone a very safe and fruitful harvest season. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This has been Hoosier Ag This Week from Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.